Kane is in the building, nigga.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, before we get to top five, bottom five, everyone's temperature varies throughout the day. It's important that you screen for fever in the morning and the evening. Fever, a sign of COVID-19, so stay safe with the Exergen Temporal Scanner. All right, we go through the top five of the NFL now that we're done with week nine. Are we already through week nine already? My God.
Yeah, slow down,
NFL. I say this every week. Every week I give the week number and I go, what? All right, five on my list, the Buffalo Bills. Now, look, I've given the Bills love this season. I have put them in my top five at various points. But the problem with the Bills had always been, every time they play pretty good, every time they play a good team, they lose. They played a really good team and they won. And they've won three in a row now. And now they're 7-2, and they've got a real good handle on the division. I mean, I know the Miami Dolphins are right behind them a little bit, but they've got some very winnable games coming up. Buffalo really had a signature victory here. I mean, the defense got to Russell Wilson, got four turnovers. Josh Allen, a day after his grandmother passed away, had a remarkable performance. Three touchdown passes and a touchdown run. The defense did its job. The offense looked great, scored its most points of the season, and Buffalo is my number five team.
I really, really wanted to go Bills here too, but I didn't.
Okay.
Because I feel like, we just kind of always slight the Bills, but it's exactly what you said. They hadn't beaten anybody good. They finally beat someone good. And so I was like, I should probably reward them, but I didn't. Instead, this is where I had the Packers.
Packers. I was going to go Packers here, too.
Now, the Packers beat a team that they were supposed to beat, but they did it the way we all thought they should do it. And that's why the Packers are number five.
Yeah, cruised through them. Supposed to beat a team that hurt and that beat up. They did.
They didn't look like they were struggling at all. And I'm a big fan of the fact that Aaron Rodgers will not let Jordan Love see the field.
No, not at all. Even in blowouts, no. No, no, no. Not going to do that. Yeah, they were. It's not flipping a coin. I had my reasons for the Bills, but I'm with you on the Packers. They're right there. It's like 5A, 5B kind of thing.
Yes, exactly.
Number four on my list is where I put New Orleans at the fantastic victory against Tampa Bay. It stunk because it was an anticipated game for me. I was really looking forward to seeing it, and Tampa Bay didn't show up. But that's not New Orleans' fault. New Orleans did what they were supposed to do and score often and get to Tom Brady and befuddle him. And I guess they did because that was a blowout and that wasn't even close. New Orleans has got a five-game win streak going on right now. And it's not that they're not getting attention. I want to make that clear. It's not like no one's paying attention. But they were 1-2 at one point, and coming off a loss to Green Bay, and there was a talk about Breeze being old. Yes, their wins on the schedule in the five win streak were against some teams that had some problems, but they are winning these games, and now it's 6-2. They're my number four team.
Yep. Number four for me, this is where I had the Ravens.
Ravens.
Yeah, for me, what's remarkable about the Ravens for me this season is how quiet they are.
Right.
They just keep winning, and they're just winning convincingly. They're not really struggling. It doesn't really feel like they're struggling in games. And, the marquee games that you do hear about, them losing to the Steelers. I know they lost their other loss was to the Browns, right?
Yeah, they lost to the Chiefs and the Steelers.
The Chiefs and the Steelers. So, I mean, you look at the two losses that they have, those are quality losses, if there is such a thing. And they're just beating up on teams that they're supposed to be beating up on. They're just cruising right along this season, and it just remarkably, it just seems really, really quiet. I know last year all the hype was centered around Lamar Jackson, so we were talking about them a lot because Lamar Jackson was a revelation. This year, he's just still doing the same thing he's doing, but I have no idea how well he's doing.
Yeah, that's true. It's not a level of an MVP like it was last year when we were really feeling like he was dominating the league. You're right about the Ravens. I have them at three.
You have them at three?
I have the Ravens at three. And again, the two losses were to two of the better teams in the AFC. The Steeler game could have gone either way. But here's the thing about Baltimore, and I saw this in an analysis of them. They score at least 20 points every time they play, right? That's it. They may not win a game or two, but they're going to get their 20. And that has prevented them from having games like what we saw with New Orleans, which is just a complete and utter collapse and a complete and utter offensive failure that leads to a bad loss that you got to shake off.
Right.
You give an NFL team, and I don't care who you are and who you're playing, if you give an NFL team 20 points, 20 automatic points, they're going to be in every game, every single game, and they're going to win a lot more than they lose, and that's the Ravens. I don't think the Steelers are capable of that. I don't think the Steelers are capable. I think the Chiefs are, but I don't think the Steelers are. I think the Steelers could have a game where they fall apart and they don't score and they manage 10 points and it just, the whole day goes, doesn't go their way. This Ravens team, even if they're not on all cylinders, can still put enough points on the board to say to their defense, now win this for us.
It, not only are they scoring 20 points a game, they're also averaging at least one turnover for like the last 3 years.
Right. It feels like. That's right. Exactly.
I don't think it's that much, I think it was like 15 or 14 games in a row they've had at least one turnover. That's impressive.
So I do want to say that offensively, they're averaging 28.4. They score at least 20, have scored at least 20 in every game so far this season.
That's pretty good.
And I think last year they did the same thing, so that's why they're three. Who's three for you?
Three is the Saints.
Saints, okay.
So we just have our three and four flip-flop here. It was just a complete domination on Sunday night. I mean, I think, I don't know. I didn't expect it. I thought it was going to be a good quarterback rivalry. It wasn't so much the offense that was impressive with me. And Drew Brees was firing on all cylinders. He showed up for the game. I mean, he got all his weapons involved. I mean, he was doing things that we've seen Drew Brees do over and over again. To me, it was the defense this time. Just completely shut down anything the Buccaneers had to offer.
And you know what? They gave Tom Brady his worst game as a pro.
They did.
Yeah, I mean, that was abysmal.
That's impressive. I mean, you're talking about, I mean, we all know Tom Brady's going into the Hall of Fame. Is he the Hall of Fame quarterback that we saw maybe 5, 6, 7 years ago? I don't know. I don't know about that. You know, you could definitely see age has crept in. But you had him running. You had him panicking. And it came on late in the game. It was, you know, they didn't get their first sack until, I think, what, third or fourth quarter. And then they strung like three in a row.
Right.
And so it was the fact that the Saints, late in the game, still had all the juice. And were still pushing Tom Brady and the Buccaneers around.
All right, so my number two team, this is where I put Pittsburgh. Now,
what?
I'm not doing it. I am not doing it because I'm punishing them for a close game against Dallas and the game they should have lost. I'm putting them in this for this reason, and I'm just going to give away. My number one team is the Chiefs.
Yeah, of course.
I don't think Pittsburgh could beat the Chiefs today. I don't think they could beat them next week, and I don't think they could beat them the week after. I think the defense could make it close. I think this team still does things wrong. I think this team still does things that are a mystery and still things that bother me as a unit. Again, every team, I don't care how good you are, the Patriots had this too. You run into a team that's just, you should beat, you just don't. Takes a little bit more to put them away. Should have been over at halftime. It wasn't. You know, you made a few mistakes. No matter how good you are, every team has gone through it. So this is not a punishment for being in a close game with a really depleted Cowboys team, especially a quarterback. This is a consistency with this team at 8-0 that I don't know how good they really are. I don't know. If they were, if Kansas City was 8-0, they'd be my favorite to go to the Super Bowl. If Baltimore was 8-0, they'd be my favorite to go to the Super Bowl. The Steelers are not my favorite to go to the Super Bowl right now. Maybe I'm being a little hard because I'm a fan and I've been disappointed by really good seasons before. They went 15-1 and just laid a complete egg to the Patriots in the NFC title game years and years ago. But it was a reminder to me again that this Steeler team is vulnerable. It really is. Vulnerable in a way that I don't think Kansas City is, even after a close win against Carolina. So Steelers are number two.
Obviously, I'm more of a Steelers fan than you are. Because I have the Chiefs at number two with that one loss.
Sure,
Even though they're pulling stuff out of playbooks that I didn't think were possible.
I got you.
They are extremely inventive. And I hear what you're saying, that I, too, believe that given a one-game scenario, I think the Chiefs would beat the Steelers. I don't think it would be, you know, a blowout by any means. I don't think it's Saints-Buccaneers.
No.
But I do think that the Chiefs would beat the Steelers. However, Steelers are still number one for me because they're undefeated. And I'm taking that to the bank right now with the fact that they're undefeated. If they lose a game, depending on who they lose to and how they lose, Maybe they get knocked down. But until you knock down the king, the king's got to stay on top of the throne.
I got you. I got you.
And that's why the Steelers for me are still number one, making me a better Steelers fan than Tony DeZiri.
And I know
Steelers fan.
I know COVID is not I know COVID is not packing stadiums, and I get it. Winning on the road isn't as big of a deal as winning on the road in the past. But the Steelers have won three straight on the road: Tennessee, Baltimore, and Dallas. So that's I got to give them credit for that. I just go back to if
I think you're punishing them.
I might be
punishing them for the Cowboys.
I might be.
Like, that's a team you should have roll stomped all over because they threw out a Garrett Gilbert on you, and you're like, who is that guy?
But you know what? Even
or
knowing
Gilbert, that, was his name Garrett Gilbert?
Garrett Gilbert. Yeah.
That's his name. So I didn't get it backwards.
Even knowing that my team plays down to the level of competition, I was very disappointed that game wasn't put away, digits.
I agree.
Cruising, you know, just, you know, like it was against Tennessee before Tennessee made their comeback, where the Steelers were up like 27-7 or something. It was like they were cruising, took advantage of turnovers, scored touchdowns. They didn't. They didn't.
And honestly, your reasoning for having them flip-flop this week is 100% accurate. I'll give you credit for that because I agree with you. I think if given a one-game scenario, Chiefs are, you know, say it's the AFC Conference Championship, Chiefs are going to the Super Bowl.
I know. So,
and I mean, it would be something remarkable for Pittsburgh to do something. And if Ben Roethlisberger goes out, Steelers got out of the top five.
that's right. If he did, if Mason Rudolph had to be there, that wouldn't be
no more.
That'd
no
be
more
done.
Duck Hodges. We need him back.
No more Duck Hodges. I know that was so bad. All right, we'll have bottom five coming up, but before we do, we know the holidays are coming up. You may be looking for a gift for somebody, or you may want a gift for yourself, so when somebody asks you what you want this holiday season, you have an answer right off the top of your head. I got a good one for you. Go to homefields.com. 160 stadiums that have been reproduced in this three-dimensional art piece that is fantastic, especially when lit up. The Steelers are 8-0. I've got Three Rivers Stadium. Coincidence? I don't know. The Dodgers won the World Series with Dodger Stadium on Ron's mantle at his house. They are fantastic. They come in three different sizes, 9, 13, and 19 inches. But more importantly, that three-dimensional effect that Ken Small has created with this piece will make it a showpiece for your man cave, your office, or anywhere in your house. It's a beautiful gift, beautiful Christmas gift. Comes with a beautiful description of the stadium in the back. And more importantly, there's so many to choose from. So you can go back to some old stadiums from your youth that no longer exist anymore. Maybe that stadium you went to a ball game with now is a parking lot. Well, now you can get it at homefields.com. Check it out. Again, check their website out. Check out what Ken Small has created. He did a lot of work into this, but more importantly, it's neat the way the three-dimensional effect looks in this piece. Hang it up, light it up, brilliant. Homefields.com. Again, check them out. Over 160 stadiums are available and all lit up for you to enjoy. That's homefields.com. Coming up, bottom five of the NFL next on Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, Jason Cole's going to join us. We'll talk some NFL coming up in about 12 minutes. Need replacement parts and tools for your repair, maintenance, and restoration project? O'Reilly Auto Parts has you covered. Trust the friendly, knowledgeable parts professionals at O'Reilly Auto Parts. They know what it takes to get the job done right the first time. In fact, professional technicians have counted on O'Reilly Auto Parts for years. Stop by and talk to one of the professional parts people today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better price. Every day. It's time for the bottom five. After week 9 of the NFL, we go from 28 all the way up to 32. Number 28 on my list of the Giants, despite their win, it was a win over Washington, and that's only their second win of the season, but it's also the second win over Washington. So they can beat Washington. They can't beat anybody else. They've had some close losses. They're still in the hunt for the NFC East, thank God, because I would hate for one of these four teams to be eliminated by now. We're all in this together, wouldn't you say? Like, no. None of you are getting out of this alive. We're all in this together. Somebody's winning this crappy division.
Isn't that fun?
I know, isn't that? It's way fun. It's like when I was telling my brother after I was consoling him after another Cowboys loss, I said, you're only a game and a half out. Don't worry about it. And the Giants play Philadelphia this weekend. If they should happen to beat the Eagles, who they should have beat last time they played, they'd have three wins. They'd be on top of the division. So, God bless them, 28 Giants.
It's really amazing.
It is
well,
amazing.
Well, the last team I talked about, you're a fan of. The first team I'm going to talk about here is the team that I'm a fan of. I put the Chargers in the bottom five last week.
Oh, yeah.
They've done nothing to move themselves, remove themselves from the bottom five. And so they're 28. I really would like to have bumped them up to 27, but the Giants are preoccupied there for having a win.
Still finding a way to lose. God. Just can't help it. Just can't help it.
At this point, I mean, I am an Anthony Lynn fan. I do like Anthony Lynn. But the fact that he doesn't know how to close games is frustrating.
Really troubling. Yeah.
And it's not just, hey, you have a rookie quarterback, you're going to go through some bumps. We all know that's going to happen. But this has been your MO for the last couple of seasons now.
I know.
You know, when you first took a team from San Diego and we moved it to the soccer stadium in L.A., we gave you the benefit of the doubt. Like, hey, at least they're competitive, but they keep losing these games. And it's because you're playing in a soccer stadium. You're in a new environment, blah, blah, blah. We just gave all the excuses. Last year, we were saying, oh, well, you know why they keep losing these close games? They don't have any fans. L.A. hasn't accepted them yet. All these other teams, they travel really good. Even Jacksonville was traveling to this to take on the L.A. Chargers, and the fans were filling up the soccer stadium. I'm running out of excuses for them. And that's the issue I have, and that's why they're 28.
All right, 29 for me, Dallas. They played pretty good with Garrett Gilbert, but they didn't win, and they could have won, and they should have won. They made some mistakes. They made some coaching mistakes. I mean, I know Mike McCarthy was saying, look, we play to win the game, so we're going to try to get as many points as we can, kicking field goals, but eventually, sometimes, you got to go for it on fourth down to keep a drive alive and get a touchdown and try to get a touchdown. I thought, again, I know they're dealing with, obviously, the big injury to Dak Prescott, but they've got some other issues on that team, and they didn't win, so they're 29.
29 for me, this is where I have Washington.
Okay.
And the sole reason why I have Washington, because I think right now the Washington football team, or Washington FT, would beat the Cowboys. Because I don't know who the Cowboys quarterback is going to be this week. Is it going to be Garrett Gilbert again? Is Andy Dalton going to be well enough to come back? Are we going to go DiNucci one more time? I have no idea.
How about Cooper Rush?
Cooper Rush. We haven't heard his name.
That's right.
A friend of ours, I believe Joe George, tweeted this out. And it got me thinking yesterday. I think it was him. I'll double check. But he posed a question that I think is very, very true. Is the Washington football team quarterback position cursed?
Yeah. Well, think about it. I mean, it just has not worked out for anybody for a long time.
But everyone always seems to have a leg injury as well, a devastating leg injury. You can go all the way back to Joe Theismann.
Yeah. Who was their last really good top quarterback? Whipping? No, that can't possibly be it.
That's the first thing that came to my mind. Was
like Rippin. Everybody that's gone in there that's had some promise eventually suffers an injury that just completely and utterly derails their entire career.
Right. RG3 was supposed to be the best thing coming, right?
Yeah, Mike Shanahan left him out in a playoff game way too long. Remember, he was practically hopping on one leg.
Yep.
And he left him in there thinking he was still a better option than his backup quarterback, whoever it was at the time. Yeah, it just, what promising person is under center there, it just... They just disappear. They just go away.
But it's often because of a leg injury.
That's right. Good point.
So,
good point.
Yeah, I had to give credit where credit's due. And it got me thinking, like, oh, this team might be cursed.
Yeah, exactly. Washington's my 30 team.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I think they could beat Dallas. It just... There was too many turnovers against the Giants. I mean, as much as we love the Alex Smith story, he didn't play well. I don't care. He's still comeback player of the year.
Yeah.
So, it doesn't... That's irrelevant
to
me.
Him now.
But they don't have a quarterback right now that's capable of playing well enough to lead this team to victory. I think Dallas can get an inspired play from Andy Dalton or anybody else to pull out a win. I don't know. They're too close to call, but I did put Washington worse than Dallas because of Dallas's performance Sunday and Washington's performance on Sunday.
Yeah, well, I had Dallas up 30.
Yeah.
I gave Washington just the one a little uptick. Because there's no other reason.
There's no moral victories. Like they said, there's no moral victories. They should have won that game. They didn't win that game. I don't care if it was good. It's close. We had a third-string quarterback or a guy that was just signed. Yeah, you should have won the game. It was right there for you. Should have won the game. The Steelers were more than happy to make enough mistakes for you to win that game, and you didn't take advantage of it.
Yeah, it was like the Cowboys wanted to give up the Steelers wanted to give up their one loss for the season. Like, we don't want to go undefeated.
Right, here you go.
We need to have that one loss so that way we have a better chance of winning the Super Bowl.
Can't call plays. Can't call the right plays. run play on fourth down didn't work. You got the ball back, moved down the field. Go ahead.
I did see something the other day. I failed to mention this with the Steelers, but this is the 14th straight season Mike Tomlin will have a winning record.
I know. And it's funny because the Steeler fans are so divided with Tomlin because, again, he's led teams that are really good and they just fall apart, you know, losing in the playoffs to like Jacksonville a few years ago. And, you know, it's not like they could have beaten the Patriots, but they've gone into playoff games against New England just completely unprepared for even a competitive game where the ball might bounce your way. But I love him. He gives that team a fighting chance every year. He puts it out there. Remember what I said last year when they lost Roethlisberger? I don't care if they make the playoffs. If they can get to the end of the season and be in the hunt, that's a major achievement. And they did. They went 8-8. They 8-8. A ball, a win here or there, they could have been in it. Yeah. So,
well, it'll be impossible for them to go 8-8 this year.
31 on my list is Jacksonville.
Oh, me too.
Yeah, Jacksonville. Wow. They're really bad. Yeah. They've lost 7 in a row. They're really bad. Jake Luton might be somebody that can play in this league. We'll find out. I have no idea. He did pretty well, but not well enough for this lousy team to win. Yeah, no, not at all.
And also, it was against the Texans.
Yeah.
So I can't give him too much credit with that because the Texans have not been a good team all season long. And they're running with the interim head coach. So they don't have – I don't know what's going on with Houston.
You got to play with some moxie in this league. He did. You know, he's like, what do I got to lose? I'm going out there, try to do the best I can, maybe earn a job either here or somewhere else. Good for him. But this team stinks, and they, you know, they're 31 on my list.
Yeah, and very easily could be the worst team in the league, especially if the Jets get a win.
God, if the Jets had won last night, they'd be out of 32.
Yeah, but the Jets looked better.
They did look better.
I think if you give it, I mean, if we took the rationale that you had, where if you had you flip flop Steelers Chiefs, flip flop. You know, let's think about Jets Jaguars. Who winning that game?
Yeah, that's right. So there you go.
I think the Jets would win.
Bottom five in the books after week 9. Jason Cole will talk NFL.
Say you're 32 next. Team.
The Jets.
Okay.
I said they were
me
32.
Too.
The Jets. All right, Jason Colt's coming up next. Find us on Twitter @TonyDRadio @RonCulver. Ron with two N's, please. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.